The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening. Broadcasting live from Central Florida down here in Studio E. My name is Steve Elkins. I'm sitting in for John Stadmiller tonight, and this is the National Intel Report. It is September 28th, 2021. A lot to talk about. I'm happy to report I am doing great. I don't know what happened. A miracle overnight. Maybe it's your prayers. I don't know. But I'm doing great. I had a great day today, and I could see myself here through Thursday. So thank you for your prayers. Maybe that's all the difference in the world. I feel great today. Got a great show lined up for you today. I want to dedicate this show tonight to a good friend of mine down here in Central Florida. I've had him on the show before. I'll just go with the first name, Ron. He's a good guy. And he's struggling with some health issues right now, and prayers going out his way. He's a good man. And he's a patriot. I met him several years ago. And it's funny how we met. Yeah, at a actually auction type situation here. And next thing I know is he's listening to RBN, and we just kind of kicked off. It was a good relationship. Continues to this day, and this broadcast goes out to Ron. It's for you, Betty. And a little bit of words of wisdom before we start the show here. I want to give a little positive spin here. Live the life you've lived, always dreamed of. Be fearless in the face of adversity. Never stop learning. Use your imagination whenever possible. Recognize the beauty that surrounds you. Remember where you came from, but never lose sight of where you are going. Let's start the show off with a little positive there tonight. Play the clip last night, 30 minutes of a 60-minute clip there about how it all began, talking about the depopulation and starting off the fear-mongering, the fear panic of COVID-19. It had to have a beginning. And we're experiencing, still continues to this day, I don't know when it's going to ever end, but there's always a beginning to every scam. And in crisis, there is opportunity. Definitely a lot of opportunity in this crisis called COVID-19. So I played the clip 30 minutes yesterday, and there was a chiropractor, a couple other disciplines there, experts talking about what they've discovered and what they've learned and sharing with the round table of questionnaires. And I thought about that when I first watched that. My gears were not in motion yet of my critical care thinking. They were not quite there yet. Listening to a second time, sometimes it takes that second time of listening to a clip until it finally just sinks in, and I kick in my heels and I said, you know what? Boom, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. And I started pointing out the wrongs in this situation with the father-in-law that died. Why did he die? Well, we were told it was COVID, but it was a secondary pneumonia. And it turned out to be pulmonary, basically pulmonary flooding. That's the word I'm looking for now. Yeah, I got brain fog now. And that's exactly what it was. The lungs were just filled up with fluid. And that's all it was. And if you could actually see this on chest x-ray. I've seen many a chest x-ray to say, well, that's just fluid. That's a lot of fluid. We can pull that off with some diuretic. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. We can do this. We can fix this. Or it's pneumonia. You can tell. It's kind of isolated, patchy, but it's a little isolated. It's usually in that left, actually the right lower lobe of the lung. Pulmonary effusion. That's what I was talking about. So we can usually determine which is which between a pneumonia versus just pulmonary infiltrates. It's easy to discover. And like I talked about also the intake and output and daily weights on your patient and grand rounds. You do a vancomycin level. All these things, vancomycin is toxic to kidneys. So, yeah, we're going to do a level every couple of days. And if we're getting close to that toxic point there, we basically either cut the dose down or we hold a dose for the day. And then we'll do tomorrow another level and see where we are with the vanco level. And then we'll give the antibiotic again. There's protocols we follow. And the reason we follow these protocols is because they work. They actually do work if you use them, stick by them. Like I said, I would love to see the narrative, the nurse's notes, and the physician's notes. I'd love to see this. And I hope this person, this chiropractor who was on the clip, is smart enough to have gone to the hospital, already retained and got that chart and basically copied it off in full detail. If for some reason this broadcast ever gets out to him, don't waste your time hiring a lawyer. I can tell you how that works in ICU, and I could read through this, and you probably can too. I think he has some pretty considerable medical experience here, but I can almost positively say that there were nurses, ICU nurses, there's some sharp people in the ICU, that saw it the same way I did, saying this shouldn't have happened. They would have spoken up. And I can tell you right now, I have gone toe-to-toe with many a doctor, gone over their heads, gone to other physicians on the case of a patient I have, and it's really Tito. They really got pissed off about that. They don't like you doing that. But, on the side of caution and safety, that's where I stand. Do no harm. I take that oath pretty damn serious. I really do. So I've gone toe-to-toes with doctors. I've had them calling for my firing, immediate firing. I want your supervisor here now. I want the house supervisor here. I want you fired. Insubordination, not following my orders. There was never any insubordination. They're simply calling out the facts, and they call that insubordination. If you question their orders, well, that's kind of my job. Because I can tell you in my 28 years of medicine, I have caught so many errors from physicians. They've confused this patient with this patient and this patient, and they have little cue cards and are walking around with, and they made a mistake, and they've ordered a medication or a drug on the wrong patient. That's my job, to catch those mistakes. Do I rub it in their nose? No. I simply say, you've made a mistake, sir, Dr. So-and-so. You must be talking about somebody else. That patient is actually allergic to that. And that's contradicting of what we're doing here. No, you got the wrong patient, the wrong medication. And they look at me and they, oh, you're right. I got the wrong. Oh, yeah, that's Mr. Johnson, a couple of doors down. Oh, thanks for catching that. And most of the time I get a thank you, get a thank you for catching that. But that's my job. I've got two patients. I better know them inside and out. And I do know my patients inside and out. You can't fool me. Physicians come in and they say, Steve, how's my patient doing? What's her changes? Well, I'll tell you her changes. Here's our Chem 7, her Chem 21 lab panel. Here's what we got. We got changes. Boom, 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 boom. Chest x-ray. How's it look, Steve? Chest x-ray shows a little bit better, improvement. This is my oxygenation. These are my vent settings. This is where we are. How's he doing? He's doing great in this area. Is he febrile? No, he's doing all right. Hemodynamically, he's doing fine. We're doing fine. We're winning these medications off. He's doing his own work now. He's doing more breathing on his own. We've trialed his breathing on the ventilator, on CPAP. He's doing great. He's going to fly here. Next couple of days, I think we can get him off the vent. That's great. Thank you, Steve, for that great report. Appreciate it. That's my job. That's what I do. But last night, like I said, listening to it for the second time, the wheels were turning in my brain, is saying, "What? How did they screw up this bad? How did they screw this up so bad? How? Wow. They didn't follow any protocols. Why didn't they not follow protocols? Well, I think it's pretty evident. The physicians, either they were lousy, incompetent physicians. I don't believe that's the case. You're working in ICU. You're not a slouch. So why did they drop the ball? Were they told to drop the ball? Well, we know they were told to not allow or go with early treatments of COVID. We know that. Ivermectin, bad thing. Can't use it. Hydroxychloroquine, can't use it. No, bad stuff. Can't recommend vitamin D. You can't recommend vitamin C, zinc. You can't recommend any of these things. There was only one solution. Put you on a ventilator and then throw remdesivir at you and throw some vancomycin at you, killing your kidneys, causing you to be in fluid overload and causing your lungs to fill up. This isn't rocket science. This is ICU on a daily. I kid you not. And you know, it's funny because we have grand rounds every morning. You got a pharmacist, you got a respiratory therapist, you've got the nurse, you've got social work, you got the physician attending or his replacement, and he's got all his notes, and he goes from one room to the other and says, how are we doing today? Steve, give me a breakdown. What's going on today? I don't know this patient. Boom, I give him a quick history, where we are, what day we're on in the ICU, how we're doing head to toe. Really fast, probably 10 minute, and then we discuss what's working and what's not working. We drop off what's not working. We add new treatments, new medications, and then we reassess it again the next day. The ball was dropped. The ball was dropped on this patient. Should have never died. So we'll see how that turns out. Hope to hear more from that individual, and I'm hoping he files a lawsuit because he has a win-win case here. No doubt about it. You know, I got an email today. I'm going to throw a little humor at you before we get into the news here. In 28 years, I have seen a lot of stuff. I've seen some good things. I've seen some bad things. Good doctors, bad doctors, mediocre doctors. Very, very poor doctors. Dedicated doctors, nurses, all kinds of disciplines. But patients, some of the patients I've come across through in the 27, 28 years are pretty amazing a lot of times. They give you a great story. And I'll share one with you because it's actually quite funny. It's only happened one time to me. Sometimes I get close to patients. Most of the time I don't. I just do my job. In an ICU, you have to put up a little wall. It doesn't mean you don't care. It just means that's how you survive in this field. If I sunk my heart into every one of these cases on the emotional level, it wouldn't last very long. Now, I realized early on in my career, did a couple shifts in the oncology, pediatrics oncology, and realized I could never do this job. My heart is too involved in children. I love children. I care about the health of children. Primarily, that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here every Sunday and every Monday and picking up shifts when I can, because I'm doing this for the youth, the children. My daughter, my grandchildren. I got five. Catholic. But a good funny story. Like I said, somebody said, you should probably write a book someday. And maybe I will, because I've got a lot of great stories. Some really, really good stories. But one I remember once, I was working on a neuro floor. I think I floated to a neuro floor. Whether that or go home, one or the other, I decided to float to a neuro floor for a couple of days. Staffing was adequate. We actually didn't have a lot of patients in the ICU. So some of us go home or we just float to other areas. So I floated over to a neuro unit, and I didn't know this gentleman. I think I had him twice. I did 2 days in a row. Older gentleman, black gentleman, I'm going to say late 80s. He had a face like a catcher's mitt. He was old. He was a do not resuscitate DNR. I'm not sure what they were waiting for in him. Maybe for nursing home placement or something, because there's not much they could do for him. His heart was failing. He didn't have much longer probably to go. And I had a hard time understanding this guy. And I know he didn't like us touching him. He didn't like us doing blood pressures on him and blood draws in the morning. I mean, he was just really pissed off. Don't, you know, kind of touch me. You know, he would tend to fight you. And I had to draw his blood. I had to do certain things. And that's just part of what I have to do. He's in the hospital. I got to do my job. And this last time I went to see him, it was time to go check on him or something. And I walked in his room, and he's in his little bed there. And I say something to him, and he gives me this kind of garbled speech. Well, it is a neurofloor, and he had a stroke also in the past, so he still has some deficits in his speech, and he has this garbled speech. And he said something. I couldn't understand what he said. I said, what? What'd you say? He garbled speech again, and I don't get it. What are you saying? And he kind of motioned to me to come closer to him so I could understand what he was saying. So I leaned forward, and by golly, what do you think he did? He decked me. He hit me with his fist, caught my chin, and then he laughed and giggled, and then he rolled his eyes and died. I kid you not. He got his one last shot in at the nurse who was taking care of him. He punched me, he rolled his eyes, he died. He was a do not resuscitate, so I walked out of there going, I just can't believe this happened. Guy punched me. Got to write this one down. Maybe a book someday. Maybe that'll happen. We do have one clip tonight. It's a short clip. I didn't play it last night. I'm going to play it tonight only because there's some good information. It's a whistleblower talking about the VAERS scam. We're going to play that here in a second, I think. Michael, do we have that queued up yet? Got it ready? Let's go ahead and play it. Let's go ahead and play it. Whistleblower talking about VAERS.
And I went on the website. I looked, and the first thing I noticed was that it said healthcare providers are required by law to report certain adverse reactions to VAERS. And I said, what do you mean? Like, what law? So, and then you look further, and it had a whole section on it, exactly what you're supposed to report. Specific things you're supposed to report to VAERS after the COVID vaccine rollout. So that's when I started reporting patients on my own. Well, very quickly, that became a full-time job. My name is Deborah Conrad, and I'm a physician assistant at a local community hospital. I've been there about 15 years. I'm a hospitalist PA. I take care of the inpatients. So if you're in the emergency room and you have to be admitted to the hospital, you'll see me, and I'll take care of you throughout your hospital stay and discharge you when you're ready. I love my job. I love my job. Being in the medical field and knowing how important it is to make sure that we keep patients safe is number one priority. January, February is when we started hearing about the pandemic. And then I remember the day that they closed churches and schools.
The fields are empty, the playgrounds deserted.
And that's when it really hit home for me. And I realized, okay, it's coming. It's coming here. We got to get ready. I was actually sent into a larger hospital to learn and train how to take care of potentially catastrophic situations. Many of us just had severe anxiety during the pandemic, thinking we were bringing this home to our families. There was a bunch of us that went to learn how to do mass casualty training in case we needed it. So that was a little scary, and that's kind of when it really hit home for me. The vaccine rollout went pretty smooth at our hospital. I've never experienced an emergency use vaccine or an emergency use, really, anything in my lifetime. I've been pro-vaccine. I mean, my kids are vaccinated. We rolled them out to pretty much like essential workers and that and all at first. There were many that were excited about it, and I understand we were all looking for a way out. After rolling them out then to the kind of general public, the elderly and in nursing homes in the area, we would get elderly in with COVID. It was kind of interesting. And it was weird. It was almost like a week after they would get their first dose, they would test positive for COVID. And then we started seeing patients coming in, you know, I got my vaccination and a week later they're in with pneumonia. I can say for sure in 2021, this is the year of pneumonia. Independent of COVID, I've never seen people with so many pneumonia, sepsis. And even in the middle of summer, you know, all summer, that's what we would get in the hospitals, pneumonia, pneumonia, pneumonia. after the vaccine rollout, I definitely noticed an uptick in heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, gastrointestinal bleeds, gastrointestinal complaints, appendicitis. We even saw pancreatitis, recurrent cancers. It was noticeably increased, where it wasn't just me noticing it, it was everybody seemed to notice it. It became clear to me that there was something wrong. I knew nothing of VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. I didn't know about our responsibility to report. It was never even talked about when these vaccines were rolled out. I mean, you'd hear it in the news here and there, but there was never this push to make sure providers were made aware that if you're getting patients in the hospital with issues, these issues, whatever, that here, you got to go to this website and start reporting and start paying attention to stuff. That was never educated to us at all. And I went on the website, I looked, and the first thing I noticed was that it said healthcare providers are required by law to report certain adverse reactions to VAERS. And I said, what do you mean? Like, what law? So, and then you look further, and it had a whole section on it, exactly what you're supposed to report. Specific things you're supposed to report to VAERS after the COVID vaccine rollout. So that's when I started reporting patients on my own. Well, very quickly, that became a full-time job in and of itself. I would say within 3 weeks to a month, I had already had 50 patients reported. And that was just of the providers that were willing to tell me about patients, recognize that there may be a problem. So I went back to my administration and I said, I need help. You know, I can't do this all myself. It's overwhelming. I'm on the phone with the CDC all the time. I'm on the phone with these patients. I need more people to know about it so they can help me and we can do the right thing. But that was met with then resistance, because that's when the vaccines were really starting to get pushed. Everybody's got to get vaccinated. This is how it's going to go. And by me admitting that we need to report because there may be some issues, it would create vaccine hesitancy amongst the healthcare workers, amongst the staff, amongst the other staff, amongst the patients. Well, that's when things changed, because I wouldn't be quiet about it. And what I did was I put envelopes in our emergency room and told many of the providers, hey, if you get a patient that comes in and they just got their vaccine, or you think something might be related in any way, go ahead and put their demographics in the envelope, and then I'll take care of it and call the patient and get the report done. Thinking it was only going to be a few reports a week, no. It turned into, like I said, a full-time job very quickly. When you roll out an emergency use product that you're going to mass release on the population, wouldn't you assure that you have safety mechanisms in place? The first thing you would do is assure that people were educated about side effects, what to report, who to report to, before you did that. That should have been the first thing. Educate your healthcare providers who are going to see these people in the hospital. Well, then how come we didn't get educated as healthcare providers? Well, I was told we're supposed to educate ourselves. It's not their responsibility.
Why are we not wanting to report this?
I don't know that it's a matter of not wanting to report it. I think the position the system has taken is that each provider has a responsibility to report on their own patients.
But if the providers aren't provided education on what we're supposed to be reporting and the importance of such, how do they know to do it?
But I believe the providers should educate themselves when they're dealing with patients related to COVID vaccination.
They don't even realize that these are specifically the conditions that we're supposed to be reporting to VAERS.
Yes,
so when we had a ton of them, I mean, we get thrombocytopenia, blood clots. Just Tuesday, I think it was, we shipped out, I think, 3 cardiomyopathies, blood clots. We got a guy on the floor, and well, he just died, I just pronounced him a second ago, who got his shot, and literally 2 weeks later, the guy ends up with cancer blown out of nowhere, a portal vein thrombus, like, just, you get strokes. I had a lady that had a stroke within 48 hours of her vaccine, fully on anticoagulation. I had a lady have a bilateral PE, and she was on Eliquis after her vaccination. I know these are things that are reportable.
That our hospital system talked to their risk management team, and I was no longer allowed to report on any other patient but patients of my own. that I saw where there was a warning that I was told I must support the vaccine effort and the approach to the vaccine. You know, during the pandemic, I received an excellence award for just my patient care and just how dedicated I am. And now I'm... And I went on the website full-time.
Provided education. Why are we not wanting to report this?
I don't know that it's a matter of not wanting to report it. I think the...
Go ahead and cut it right there, Michael. It's repeating itself. Well, it repeated itself. She talked about pneumonia, or are we talking about pulmonary effusions here? People drowning on their own fluids. It could have been a secondary pneumonia, but I'm willing to bet had she looked closely, she didn't. I'm sure she did not look at any chest x-rays. You can certainly see the pulmonary effusion, the flooding of the lungs of fluid versus a pneumonia here, but she was filling out the paperwork the physician should have been filling out. Of course, now she got a warning and you're not supposed to do this anymore. And the CEO certainly not pursuing any VAERS vaccine injury cases at all whatsoever, playing the game that he was told to play. Very disturbing. CHF, myocarditis, pericarditis, things that happen soon after the shot itself. I'm not going to call it a vaccine because it's not a vaccine. The safety mechanisms in place, the panels that should have been in the hospital itself with VAERS, these vaccines, these shots, and also the pharmaceuticals lacking to have any kind of panels to follow to see the progress made or the downside of their shots. That's all for purpose. That's all for purpose, because if you have a downside, you have to report it to somebody. And of course, this agenda must continue. These things are safe. Oh yeah, they're safe. Very safe. I still hear the people in the mainstream media talking about these are safe. They're available. Please get them. Go to your nearest pharmacy and get your shot there. And while you're at it, you might as well get the flu shot, and you can get a nice little badge of courage band-aid there to saying that I've got my shots, plural. I'm a good patriot. I'm a good person. It's very disturbing when I see people in the healthcare field that are denying what's really going on. And we just shake our heads. Wife and I, we shake our heads going, do you believe this? Do you believe they're saying these things? That's safe, telling their employees to get this. They have not done the homework. They have not done the homework at all. They are simply, this is a financial incentive. These people have been bought off. I don't know if they're being bought off or they're being blackmailed, but they have not done their homework. Again, you know, the example I like to use all the time, Crest recommendation, 4 out of 5 dentists. Don't you want to hear from number 5? Yeah, you should. You should want to hear from number 5. And we're not hearing that. All we hear is good, 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 good. Take it, take it. There's no downside. There's nothing. VAERS is not even looked at. It's funded by the government primarily, but for some reason it's not valid. It's not something that's saying, wait a minute here, this is serious stuff, we've got to stop this. Nothing. It's like it doesn't even exist. Very sad. 512-248-8252. If you have any comments or anything else you want to ask, or questions or comments, always open lines for you. Appreciate your calls. I contacted a reporter the other day. I'm waiting for a response back on him. Writes a column. It's in the Triangle News Leader. It's actually trianglenewsleader.com. Most of the time, I read what he writes. It's this little paper that's delivered to your driveway. You got to walk down and pick it up. We'll come back to it. Let's see if I get a response from this guy. Stay tuned. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins sitting in for John Stadtmiller tonight. Stay tuned.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
John Stabmiller, that is Bruce Hornsby. Just the way it is. Really, is that really how it is? It's just the way it is. You're supposed to accept it, I guess. I was thinking about the physician's assistant here, Deborah Conrad, and her dilemmas. Also thinking about the prior clip I played last night, the 30 minutes of the 60 minutes, on who do you know, as a nurse, when you discover, you find fault and error or negligence, who do you contact on that? Who do you contact? Well, you can go right to the source, and of course, they don't acknowledge it. You have to go over their head, of course. You have to find somebody. And I've been in that situation before. You either go to the nurse manager, the house supervisor, or worst scenario is you end up making a call to the Board of Nursing. Now, the Board of Nursing could either take it serious, send an investigation team down to look at it over, or they could sit on their hands, probably what they'd be doing right about now, sitting on their hands. And so she's in a dilemma here. She's got a direct bullseye on her head here now for being a whistleblower on vaccine injury. She's gone from hero to zero. Here she got awards weeks ago, and now she's a zero, being watched closely, monitored, and you are not allowed to report anything other than your own patients. Does that sound like they really want to get to the truth and they really care about health? No, it does not. Let's go to the phones here and get some of your calls. Rick in Myrtle Beach, you're on the show.
Yeah, hi, Steve. How are you doing? I'm wondering what your thoughts are as to how difficult it is for people in the nursing field or being a doctor these days in hospitals, because there's some really concerning things. If they did a little bit of digging, for instance, I was listening to Dr. Artis, and he had interviewed another scientist, Dr. Ryan Cole, MD.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they were talking about remdesivir, which showed up in the South African trial, which showed that it had a mortality rate of 51.3%.
Yeah, on the Ebola trials, yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that also that hospitals were getting a bonus of 20% every time that they prescribed it. And also Regeneron, the monoclonal
antibodies,
antibodies, that actually had a mortality rate of 33.5% in the same study. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Artis was saying, hey, look, if you got a death rate with COVID of less than 1%, nobody's going to agree and disagree that it's more than 1%. It's far, far less than 1% of all the cases. The amount of people die is much less than 1%. So then why would you take a drug that's got a mortality rate that's 50 times the actual disease that trying to fight?
You wouldn't.
You
that's where our common sense is. That's why there's probably 70 million or 80 million people that realize that there's more harm to come than good out of this thing. And first of all, we recognize the CDC's own numbers, their survivability rates. We understand those high numbers. Unless you have comorbidities or underlying health problems, you're going to do fine. Hey, I'm living right now. I just had COVID. I'm pretty dang sure I had it. And I had a couple rough days. You see, Saturday diagnosed, Sunday, Monday, we're at Tuesday. I'm doing good today. I don't know what. I've been doing everything right. My treatment, my therapies I'm giving myself. I had a light case of it, and I'm doing great. So most people would actually probably be in the same situation as myself. You don't need it. Why did they manufacture and create a vaccine, which is not a vaccine to prevent, on something that has a high survivability rate? Does that make sense at all? No, it doesn't.
Oh.
But they're still pushing the narrative that this is the death all, this is the black plague, you have to take this, and they're trying every method they can. First, they're being kind, then they're offering you prizes and gifts and all kinds of incentives, and now we're to that bottom level there where they say if you don't take it, you lose your job. Force. This is medical tyranny. Extortion, medical tyranny is what it is.
What do you think of the use of ventilators? Because, from the stats that I've seen is that about 80% of people are not going to come off them alive. And there's nothing wrong with giving people oxygen, but to actually put them, sedate them and then put them on a ventilator.
Do you know what? Here's what happened is the ventilator is a last ditch thing here that should have never happened. I guarantee you, had they diagnosed it correctly with pulmonary effusion instead of a pneumonia and COVID, had they diuresed the patient right away, put them on a simple mask or put them on a 100% non-rebreather mask. You don't have to put a vent on them. You simply diurese, take the fluid off. They start to ventilate much better. They start to oxygenate much better. Everything goes great. You got to pull the fluid off. They mismanaged this from day one.
But why do you think that they're not doing tests for polymer infusion? Because
all you got to do is do a chest x-ray. It's not rocket science. If you go, matter of fact, do me a favor. When you get off with me, later in the show, go online, go to YouTube, and put on their x-ray picture of pulmonary effusion. Okay? Look at that. Right. And then look for also type in pneumonia, chest x-ray pneumonia pictures. And you're going to see a huge difference. You're going to see a diffuse pattern of fluid that completely fills all the lungs, both sides, versus a pneumonia, which will probably be stuck down in the right lower lobe of that lung.
It's pretty simple to see.
And that's what we do in the hospital. When somebody comes in and they're having breathing problems, respiratory problems, and their sats are low on their pulse ox, we're saying, uh-oh, geez, what's going on here? What do we have? Let's do a chest x-ray. We do a chest x-ray right then and there, and we get our results back fast. And if you look at it correctly and diagnose it correctly, which they should have done, which somebody did not do, you simply say, we got infiltrates everywhere. This guy's in pulmonary edema here. These are effusions. We got to get all this fluid off. Let's put him on the floor, simple mass oxygen. Let's get him some oxygen here. Let him relax. Give him something to sedate him a little bit. And let's pull the fluid off and see how fast he responds. And that's exactly what you do. The pulmonary edema itself, the effusions themselves, is your problem. You can't grab oxygen when your lungs are full of fluid. They misdiagnosed.
Isn't that
went
a side
right
effect
to the big
from
gun.
Remdesivir?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that a side effect from remdesivir?
Remdesivir can shut your kidneys down. It's nephrotoxic.
Well, that causes pulmonary infusion?
Yeah, well, that would also call your pulmonary edema. When you have a backup of fluid, it's got to go somewhere. Yeah, the pulmonary edema has to go somewhere.
Right.
You know, if you have edema, you have a backup of fluid, if your intake and output is off and you're retaining a lot of fluid, your tissues will show it. Your ankles will be swollen. You'll be swollen all over. You'll have a lot of water weight. But you got to pull that off. After a while, it's got to go somewhere, and it backs up on the right side of the heart, goes right to the lungs, and basically you got to build up a fluid in the lungs, pulmonary edema.
Right. Dr. Artis says that within 5 days, it shuts down your kidneys and all your organs start to shut down because of that. They start retaining fluid, and it's got no place to go.
So the question is, what happened here? How did so many people drop the ball on this one? They jumped right to the big gun, put them on the ventilator. Well, a ventilator is not going to do any good. Like I said, if those lungs, those little air sacs in your lungs, the alveoli, if they're saturated with water, fluid, they can't grab oxygen. I can put you on a vent. I can dial you up to 100% oxygenation, FiO2, and I can put you a high peep. I'm trying to blow it in, make sure I get through the restriction of all the tubes, the endotracheal tube, and make sure I try to inflate your lungs, but your lungs are not going to grab the oxygen if they're soaking wet with water, fluid. They mismanaged this from day one. The ventilator at that point was a death sentence, because my guess is they probably started to up the peep pressure, the positive inspiratory pressures, the peep pressure, the positive and expiratory pressure. It's a pressure we use to kind of force the oxygen through the tubing. They probably went really high on the peep pressures, and probably what they did end up doing is probably blowing a hole in the lung. Then you have to put a chest tube in, and now you're really behind, because you're inflating one lung only until you put the chest tube in.
How long have you seen people on a ventilator? I got a friend, he's on a ventilator now for 10 days.
Oh, that's nothing. That's nothing. After about, the cardinal rule in the ICU is, probably, I'd say, right around 2 weeks, if it looks like you're going to be on a vent for a lot longer than that, we take it out of your mouth. We trach you. We take you down to surgery. We do an endotracheal tube. We actually trach you through your neck there. And we put the tube there, a much smaller tube. We trach you, tracheotomy. So we get it out of your mouth. Because if you're in your mouth after a while, you get all kinds of problems. You get yeast problems and all kinds of other stuff, infections you can get. So we try to maybe 2 weeks. Pull the tube out, and then we'll take you down and trach you, put a trach in.
And do you see very often the use of intravenous vitamin C, like, say, 50 gram to 100 gram per day?
No. Well, what I do see is all that tossed into a banana bag. It's called the banana bag. We got this big multivitamin bag. It's yellow. And when we get people that are homeless, who are depleted in all their vitamins and minerals, We put one of those banana bags on them to get them back up to par on their vitamins and minerals and electrolytes and everything, because they're usually depleted. Which is interesting that they're depleted, but they're not coming in with COVID. Unless it's the vitamin D from the sunshine from being outside all the time, these guys should be getting COVID, and they don't get COVID. The homeless don't come in with COVID. So that's how, that's how important
because of the vitamin D
sunshine
D,
is. Yeah, that's how important vitamin D sunshine is. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Because I heard that 80% of people that died were chronically deficient in vitamin D.
So they're chronically deficient in vitamin B, B1, all the B vitamins, and they're deficient in vitamin D.
Right.
And especially through the winter months when we have the holidays, because people don't get outside and get the vitamin D sunshine, so they're deficient in vitamin D. They don't take supplements. They're vitamin B deficient because they're consuming a lot of caffeine, a lot of alcohol, a lot of sugary products, and that all depletes vitamin B1, which is good for your immune system. So we really don't actually have a flu season per se. What we have is a vitamin B1, vitamin D deficiency through the winter months, which along with alcohol and not sleeping and partying all night and not resting and the stress level of Christmas and whatever the holidays, we have an immune system that's pretty vulnerable to anything. And that's what you have.
So how do you,
if you kept your vitamin B up and you kept your vitamin D levels up and vitamin C levels up, and you got adequate rest, sleep, and monitored your stress, brought your stress down, you would probably never ever get sick in the winter months. Never get sick.
How do you explain all the recent uptick in hospitalizations with people with COVID? That's
not all true too. Let's break this down. This is pretty simple. When we started off the pandemic, what happened? We had essential businesses. We had non-essential businesses. What were the essential businesses? Were all those businesses that actually deplete and impair your immune system. You had alcohol. You had liquor stores open. You had head shops open. You had health clubs shut down to promote good health and exercise and boost your immune system. All the things that were good for your immune system were taken away. You were told you can't go outside. You can't go to the beach. You can get a fine. You can get a ticket on going to the beach. You had to wear a mask everywhere. So all those things they promoted that were, they called essential, were actually non-essential for your immune system. And that's how we got people sick. And that if they're stressed, your immune system gets a hit. And if you're drinking a lot of alcohol and you're eating crappy food, cheap food, because the prices are going up on good food, you're going to impair your immune system and you're going to get sick.
But I was thinking that perhaps that all these hospitalizations and all these people dying over the last 2 or 3 months is a direct cause of the side effects of the vaccine.
It is. The vaccinated are coming in. It's the opposite of what you're being told. The media is telling you the unvaccinated are sick. They're the ones coming in. That's a lie. I can tell you with 100% certainty of all my sources and where I come from, that is a lie, a bold-faced lie. The vaccinated are coming in at a very high rate because they've taken the shots. It doesn't
work.
How can
they lie? I've seen governor of West
Virginia. They lie about everything.
The governor of West Virginia comes on, and he claims that 85% of the people that have been hospitalized are unvaccinated. How could you make a claim like that?
Because there's nobody to challenge him. And anybody who challenges will not get airtime. Those nurses, why do you think they want to fire so many people? Because those are the truth tellers. Those are the people saying, hey, I'm working in the hospital. This is not true. This is causing more harm and damage. They want to get rid of those people.
Yeah.
They want to get rid of those people.
Yeah. You know what I've done when I noticed that I'm coming down with some influenza or something like that? I just take a couple aspirin and I go in a high dose vitamin C, like 1 or 2 grams every 30 minutes or so. And that combination, also some vitamin D and some zinc, and that combination will eliminate within 6 hours all my symptoms. And I'll go have a hot shower and go to bed, and I'll wake up like a few hours later and be 100% gone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've been telling my mother this, and I've been telling all my friends this, and you know, I've had 80 people in their 80s and 90s do it, and all of them got rid of it within a few hours.
Right. Quite well, amazing. I tell you what, I'm a totally different guy today than I was yesterday. Yesterday I was kind of pukey. I made it through the show and everything.
I heard you talking about how you're
feeling
under
the switch on, and I'm feeling great today. I'm feeling great today.
Well, great.
Yeah.
It's just that, what did you do?
I really hit it hard with some zinc and some my nasal sinus lavage and some breathing treatments. And just I went out today and I cut grass for about a couple hours, got some good vitamin D sunshine, and I never felt better. I said I didn't have a weak point today. Things are good.
Yeah, great.
Hey, appreciate your call. Appreciate your call, Mark.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. And click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
You can go anyway. Close your eyes and it will take you there.
Just step away. Slide away into dreamland.
And we are back here. You know, I delayed here a second here. I started to go to a story, and then I was telling you something, and then we had the commercial break, and I didn't come back to it. I went right to the phone calls. I was I contacted this writer by the name of David Dunn Rankin. He wrote an article on May 27, 2020, "If You Love America, Wear a Mask." So I read through it, and I contacted him, and he made the same arguments we heard in the past. you know, wear it and you'll keep grandma safe. You won't kill grandma. And all kinds of fear mongering here in this article here. And this is May 27th. So I contacted him. I said, hey, have you learned anything since May 27th, since you wrote this? Take a look at that little box of masks, the blue ones, the cheapy blue ones. On the back, it says not for medical or clinical use. What do you think that means? I said, do you want to make a revision and rewrite another one here? Have you learned anything? And I dropped a few names on him here with Dr. Mercola, Joseph Mercola, and Dr. Peter Mercola, and other experts to educate you, because evidently he went along with the CNN, MSNBC fear-mongering of wear the mask. And I also threw some humor at him also that if Levi blue jeans and Fruit of Loom underwear couldn't stop a fart, through those thick layers, your little mask isn't going to stop it, you from smelling it. So it's not helping you at all. Okay, you're wasting your time. It's a psychological thing here. If it makes you feel good, but you're actually doing yourself a disservice here, psychological damage here, actually. You are creating another psychiatric disorder, essentially. These people that refuse to take it off, and we're told this is probably never going to end. Imagine that. Can you think about that? This is never going to end. Masks forever, social distancing forever, boosters forever. Is that the life you really want? So let's see if this guy responds back to me, or he's just going to label me, you're the problem. You're the troublemaker. You're the reason why we have a pandemic. I kind of expect that. We'll see. We'll see what happens. To the last caller, Rick in Myrtle Beach, I'm going to tell you a really funny story before I go to next caller. I did a contract in South Carolina many, many years ago, a little place called Georgetown, South Carolina. This is another interesting story I can put in my book. The only time I've ever worked in a hospital that was side by side to a cemetery, I kid you not, a nice big giant cemetery. It's an old cemetery right next door to the hospital. You could actually wheel your patient, put them in a chair, and bring them over to the window, and you can say, look, this is your view, the cemetery. You better get better, or else this is where you're going. I've never seen a cemetery right next door to a hospital ever in my life. Georgetown, South Carolina has a cemetery right next door to the hospital. Amazing. Back to your calls here, Chris in California. You're on the show.
Yeah, there's some incentive. Hey, I take a lot of supplements, herbal and otherwise, for years. I haven't been sick in over 45 years.
Hey, Chris, do you hear the music?
Yeah.
Chris, do you hear the music? I'm going to hold you over, so stay with us. Okay. Second hour coming up, National Lynn's Airport. Steve Elkin sitting in for John Stadmiller. Second hour.
Take all our money and send it abroad.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central. And Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.